Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. God's call to doomed Edom. Though the theme of the book of Isaiah, found in the prophet's name is Yahweh is salvation, God saves only those who trust in him, where those who fail to believe him are not saved. Nevertheless, God's call to be saved extends to all the lost, even to those who will not believe. And in the case of Isaiah 21, 11, and 12, that call extended to doomed Edom, teaching us to evangelize all of the lost. When I initially started to study this passage, I was going to include God's call here with Edom and also the Arabia, verses 13 to 17. But when I got into the Hebrew, there was too much, so I had to stop two verses. So I'll read the two verses and then we'll look at it. Isaiah 21, 11 and 12. The burden of Duma. He calls out to me, out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire you. Return, come. Okay. You read that and you say, what's going on? That's what I did the first time I looked at it. The nation of Edom longed for a message of hope for deliverance from Assyrian oppression. That's what verse 11 is all about. We know that the nation addressed in Isaiah 21, 11, and 12 is Edom due to the reference in verse 11 to Seir. Seir is a mountainous area in the land of Edom. If you get your Bible map out and you look at the Dead Sea, if you go down to the south, by southwest, you'll see that there is a range of mountains there that borders on Saudi Arabia. And it's a very dry area today. But that is where the heart of Edom was. And that whole range of mountains is called Mount Seir. There's a valley that goes just south of the Dead Sea. But this series of mountains rises up to the east of that. And there's a long group of hills there. That's the region known as Seir. And that's the heart of Edom. However, Isaiah calls Edom in verse 11 by a very cryptic name. He calls it Duma. And the word Duma means silence. But notice how he did a play on words here. By removing the ah sound from the beginning of the word Adom, which is the word Edom, and placing it at the end, Duma, Isaiah makes the very name Edom become a sign of Edom's future fate, of the silence of death due to invading Assyria's destruction. So he addresses Edom as silence. Instead of calling it Edom, he calls it Duma. Takes the ah sound and puts it at the end of the word. So there's a play on the word there. God's prophet Isaiah, who alone can give information concerning the outcome of the terrifying invasion, hears voices in a vision that call from the region of mountainous Seir. And they call Isaiah, the prophet of God, who alone knows the actual state of world affairs. Apparently, though, this call was coming out for anybody who might help. Can anybody tell us what's going on? Can anybody tell us what the future holds? It's interesting how many people today, even unsaved people, are concerned about the future. There's an unbeliever my wife and I deal with who every now and then where there's sort of a national or an international crisis that comes up, will ask questions. What does your Bible prophecy say? What's going to happen in regards to this or that? And the party is very concerned about it. They don't know Christ as their Savior. They've been witnessed to many times, but they're nevertheless very, very concerned. And these people in Edom were very, very concerned because the oppression of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were a rough nobody liked them. They were just bullies. And they were coming down and they were bullying them and they were oppressing them. And the Edomites were suffering at this particular time. Well, they wanted the information. They wanted to know what the end of this was like, what the hope would be. Well, the voices from Edom ask Isaiah, who's God's watchman, watchman, what from the night, literally? Watchman, what from the night? From is the Hebrew word min. And a better translation is, watchman, what part of the night is it? And in the context of judgment, it can be paraphrased, how much of the night has passed? How much more must we endure before the light of morning comes? It's interesting, normally when people call out to the watchman, they call out, what do you see? But this group of people is not calling out what they want to see. They want to know what time it is. Is it the first watch? Is it the second watch of the night? Is it the third watch of the night? So these people are concerned about time, not so much. Why? Because the enemy's already come. The enemy is already plaguing them. But what they want to know is, how much longer are we going to have to go through this suffering? How much must we endure before the light of morning comes? So the nation Edom feels the dreadful pain of Assyrian oppression. It calls out in torment to ask how much longer it has to endure this pain. The repetition of the question indicates that it comes from a suffering people, from those who intently long for some ray of hope of deliverance from Assyrian oppression. This is like a person who's being tortured. And the person who's being tortured has been tortured for a number of hours. And the person wants to know, how much longer is this going to go? When is this going to be over with? Well, as God's watchman, the prophet Isaiah in verse 12 answers that Edom must truly repent to be delivered. Isaiah reports that morning comes and also night. And it's interesting that he gives no definite article either to the word morning or the word night. He doesn't say the morning comes and the night. He says morning comes, night comes. He's very general. And there's a purpose for this. The darkness of Assyrian oppression would occur, but there also existed the hope of a morning of deliverance for those in Edom. Now, what is that deliverance? The last part of verse 12, God's prophet then told Edom what to do to experience the morning of God's deliverance from the night of Assyrian oppression. And this is what he said. If you will seek or inquire, the Hebrew word ba'ah is either to seek or to inquire. And in the context, it has both connotations. If you're asking, seek. You need to seek something from God. If you will seek or inquire, then seek or inquire. The Hebrew word ba'ah occurs twice. Then the word turn back or return, shuv, is often used in the reference of repentance. And here it means to turn back or to return, and it really does have a connotation of repentance. And then the word come. It's interesting, when you get into Revelation 22, the Holy Spirit says to the unsaved world, come. It's an evangelistic call. This is an evangelistic call too. Turn, return, change your mind, repent, come. And we explain this very abrupt directive as follows. The Edomites had long oppressed the people of Judah, the main reason for God's judgment. You'll remember in the book of Obadiah, which is a prophecy against the people of Edom because of their enormous and prolonged hatred of the people of Israel, the people of Judah. And the book of Obadiah talks about this ceaseless, endless hatred that these people had, the people of Edom had for the people of Israel. Let me find Obadiah. Obadiah is a very short prophecy. Here it is. Yes, Obadiah. And in verse 10 of Obadiah, there's only one chapter in this book. It's a very, very short prophecy. But verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In verse 11, in the day thou stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots on Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. You should have not have looked on that day of your brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. See, they were actually related. Remember, Esau was the brother of Jacob. Judah and Israel are the descendants of Jacob. Esau was the brother. And there's this animosity between Edom, the descendants of Esau, and Jacob. There always was, and it never stopped. And that's something that God held against the Edomites. Now that hatred for Judah had also led to Edom's estrangement from Israel's God, and both sins had to be addressed if Edom wished to enjoy God's deliverance from divine judgment through Assyrian invasion. Accordingly, Edom was to inquire. Namely, she was to seek the Lord with all of her heart, as commanded in Deuteronomy 4:29, so as to find him. And upon finding him, return or turn back in repentance from her sin against God and her hatred of Judah before the Lord would deliver her. Deuteronomy 4:29 commanded Israel, if you sin, you will find the Lord. If you find him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, you're going to have to really go after that. You're going to have to mean it. And that's what God says. See, at this point, Edom was just wanting to be delivered from Assyria. She just didn't want to suffer anymore. And God says, you know, through his prophet, you don't want to suffer anymore, fine. But if you really don't want to suffer, you have to come clean in repentance. Because the reason you're suffering now is because of sin. You're going to have to change your attitude towards your brother and the descendants of Jacob, it'd be Judah. And you're also going to have to change your attitude into the Lord. Well, the brevity of this directive suggests that Edom had no real hope then due to her entrenched hatred of Judah and her estrangement from the Lord. Only if Edom's people were to repent to avoid God's judgment and not just seek deliverance from Assyria without such true repentance would she actually be delivered. However, in history, roving bands marauded and destroyed Edom, and it became a perpetual Duma. In fact, if you go to Edom today, which is the city of Petra, you've probably seen pictures of this, or it's empty. People just don't live there. It's silent. All you hear is the wind that blows through the empty places. The Edomites essentially ceased to be people. So many of them were killed, and the stragglers that remained just went off, and they basically intermarried with other groups of people. Now, years later, there were a small group of Edomites that lived in Judah, and one of those people became Herod the Great. Okay? And Herod's sons split up and so forth. But after that, the Edomites passed off the scene, and now we don't know who the Edomites are. They're probably intermarried pretty much with Arabs and some of the people there in that area, but they just ceased to exist as a people because of their hatred of Judah. So though Edom earnestly desired to be delivered from Assyrian oppression, she needed to seek it through the repentance to God before he would help her. In reality, the nation was doomed to destruction due to its lack of true repentance and faith in Judah's God, being thus doomed to be left as a place of the silence of death, or the Duma of death. So may we testify to the lost of their need to trust in Christ to escape eternal hell. Though some of the unsaved will not believe, we, like Isaiah, must serve as God's watchmen of the night and call all lost men to faith in Christ. If we ourselves have not yet believed in Christ, may we do so to escape eternal hell and be saved. I remember as a boy being in Nigeria, West Africa, and when the sun goes down, as you're near the tropics, near the equator, when the sun goes down, there's a very short twilight. Here we have a long twilight, goes on and on and on. But there the twilight is just a matter of minutes, and within 50 minutes it's absolutely pitch black. Very, very dark, very, very suddenly. And so if you're in the afternoon and you're out in the bush, you better, by 3 o'clock, you better start heading back to where you're planning to spend the night, because when the night comes, when the sun sets, wham, that's it. And then at night in the bush, big old snakes come out. Sometimes they're 15, 20 feet long. And poisonous snakes come out as well. And wild animals come out. So you don't want to be out of the bush. You want to be safe and home where it's at. And scorpions come out. All sorts of things come out in the night. So I remember sometimes as a child standing out in the yard and watching the sun go down, all of a sudden the darkness coming on. And remembering that over the horizon there were many, many people there. Many people, African people, who as yet did not know Christ as their Savior, and thinking about the darkness, the spiritual darkness that existed there, and the great need to get the gospel out. Well, we live in a whole world that is dark. We have a country of darkness. There are many, many people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many of them will not accept him. But you know, God loves them, and he wants them to hear. So God gives us the responsibility. And the sad truth is that not everybody we witnessed who will accept Christ. But nevertheless, we are the watchmen of the night. God calls us to be watchmen. He wants us to be the witnesses, to live for Christ, to testify for him when we get the chance and so forth, and to do so regardless of the response. Our job isn't to get people to respond. Our job is to be the light, like the prophet of God. We are called to answer those who are calling out and to give them the answer. Repent, come to Christ, believe. May we be faithful in witnessing to the lost.